This is Unmind with Great Cloud Michael Elliston Roshi.
The Three Marks of Dukkha, number one. Aging. Am I getting old? Or does it really matter? Age is delusion? Returning from the political fray to the realities of daily life on Earth 2, as the current popular trope would have it, I would like to delve into one of the teachings of Buddhism and Zen that may contribute to its misperception as being overly pessimistic. The three marks of dukkha, the Sanskrit word usually translated as suffering, are unsatisfactoriness. Usually, dukkha is related to specific aspects of life, specifically aging, sickness, and death, as the three characteristics of all sentient existence. From the Tricycle website, we find, quote, "The Buddha taught that all phenomena, including thoughts, emotions, and experiences, are marked by three characteristics, or three marks of existence: impermanence, anicca; suffering or dissatisfaction, dukkha; and not-self, anatta. These three marks apply to all conditioned things, that is, everything except for nirvana. According to the Buddha, fully understanding and appreciating the three marks of existence is essential for realizing enlightenment. It is a schema that is accepted in both Theravadin and Mahayana schools, but more emphasized in the former." Close quote. The link may be found on the webpage. Here we find a much broader, less personal definition of the three than aging, sickness, and death, but as human beings, we are naturally more concerned with how they apply to our well-being most immediately and intimately than how they function as universal principles. It seems to me that much of the chaos and uncertainty that we are currently witnessing in the social sphere is animated by the unsuccessful resolution of our personal relationship to these three marks, along with the built-in resistance to embracing them fully with any measure of equanimity. As an octogenarian, I can personally testify to the inevitability of the first two and their power taking precedence over all other dimensions of daily life in due time. All you have to do is live long enough to find out for yourself. However, the Buddha apparently came to this conclusion or confrontation relatively early in life, in his mid-30s, when we would expect him to be in the prime of life, though 2,500 years ago, life expectancy was not what it is today. Let us consider each of them one at a time, from a problem definition and problem-solving perspective. In passing, let me recall that the least emotionally laden definition of dukkha is simply change. Nothing personal about it. Buddhists may be said to believe these teachings rather than believing in them, as some of the online commentary would have it. As with all of the compassionate teachings, one's own first-person experiential evidence will drive home the validity and veracity, as well as the long-term priority of these findings and conclusions of the Buddha. The only question becomes how. How do we comport ourselves in the context of these dominant aspects of our existence? The existence of suffering itself, Buddha said we are to fully understand. And from the above quote, that understanding must of necessity begin with recognizing and appreciating these three most immediate considerations of life, beginning with aging or impermanence. It does not help much to place our own impermanence in the context of universal impermanence. Misery may love company, but not that much. It might help to consider the question, when does aging begin? At the moment of birth? At the moment of conception? The current flap over in vitro fertilization, as part of the larger ethical and ideological debate around all things related to birth control, or the larger category of reproductive health in general, illustrates that aging is actually well underway before conception. The eggs and sperm involved have limited viability, aging out of their own microworld shelf lives. Owing to a welcome assist from modern medicine, many of us can expect to live increasingly long lives, with notable exceptions in the form of further life-threatening causes and conditions attributed to the very success and lack of due diligence of the human species. In Zen, we hear various expressions such as, quote, every moment reincarnation from my teacher, for instance. We read Master Dogen's framing of birth and death as, quote, expressions complete this moment. Buddha himself was said to have mentioned something to the effect that, owing to impermanence, there must be permanence. His monks were said to have been happy to hear this. One of the theories that I have read attempting to explain the success of Buddhism spreading throughout history in its countries and cultures of origin is that Buddha's followers were so relentlessly happy. So there is a kind of pervasive optimism in Zen and Buddhism, which is hard to explain in the context of impermanence and aging, let alone sickness and death. But just consider in your own mind for a moment the possibility that there were no aging, that we would remain forever young in the memorable phrase from the Bob Dylan tune. What would be the implications, both long and short term, of this reversal of biology? What if we did not age? We can leave the discussion of illness and dying to upcoming segments. Buddha rejected such speculation as ultimately futile if taken seriously. But here, we want to treat it as a mere thought experiment, for the sake of shedding light on the actual causes and conditions of our existence. No harm, no foul. In design circles, this is a recognized process called synectics, engaging in the seemingly irrelevant on the chance that it might turn out to be relevant. It is related to Hegel's dialectic, seeing the existing thesis, a present manifestation of reality, as impermanent, enabling our recognition and even ability to predict the emergence of the antithesis on the event horizon. The model goes on to predict the merging of thesis and antithesis into the new thesis, which arises, abides, changes, and ultimately decays and disappears with the next cycle, and so on and on forever. Not coincidentally, this terminology of merging is used discerningly by Master Dogen in his envisioning the process of Zen realization in Shobogenzo Bendoha, if memory serves. Emphasis mine, quote, in stillness, mind and object merge in realization and go beyond enlightenment. If we consider aging in this startling single-point reflection, how does that look? Buddha says toward the end of his first sermon, quote, "My heart's deliverance is unassailable. This is the last birth. Now there is no more becoming." If indeed it is possible to come to the end of becoming, is that tantamount to the end of aging? Is the essence of what Buddha and Dogen realized is that everything else is obviously aging and becoming something else, and must include the one observing the change, and that it has always been thus from the very beginning. So what could go wrong? Just consider, if the very conditions that we all naturally worry about, all too often to an excessive, obsessive degree, have always obtained in the universe, long before our birth in this lifetime and likely to persist and pertain long after our death, how can there be anything fundamentally amiss? Not that it's the best of all possible worlds, thank you, Pangloss. But really, as a design-build professional, I can fantasize that I was in charge and made the primordial decisions that determine that, if there is to be sentient existence, what will that look like? How do I make that work? But most ordinary human beings do not have that kind of hubris. They palm the fundamental questions off to a divine entity, the wizard's intent hidden behind the curtain of appearances. We simply accept the givens, try to understand and embrace them, and go from there. But there must have been a before the Big Bang. Or the alternative bounce. There must have been something, the sound of silence, and maybe nascent thought, preceding the word. But then all heaven and hell breaks loose, and here we are, in this moment. None of this explains anything, of course. Whatever framework we've been given to comprehend the brute fact of existence was totally made up by others. You learned that, and it can be unlearned. Zazen seems mainly a process of unlearning what we think. The very idea and ideal of longevity has only one value in this context, according to my feeble grasp of Zen's teachings, a better chance to wake up. In witnessing, or better, contemplating, aging, I am oft reminded of the unforgettable couplet from musical Zen Master Dylan. Ah, but I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. My sense of the relevance of aging and impermanence in the context of meditation and Dharma teachings is that, like the questionable linearity of the so-called arrow of time in theoretical quantum mechanics, taking the view that time is passing in a direction may be entirely arbitrary. What we may perceive, and more problematically, what we may interpret as aging, may indeed be true, but only half the reality, as with all dualistic thinking. Perhaps we are growing younger at the same time, disencumbering ourselves with learned inhibitions, rules and regulations that no longer apply as we mature to embrace emptiness. My idle conjecture on aging represents yet another variation on the theme of thinking independently and acting interdependently. This bears repetition. Sitting in Zazen with the Zen community, we are nonetheless sitting alone. Anytime we sit alone in Zazen, we are joining the larger community of Zen practitioners. Somewhere in the world, at any time, day or night, someone is sitting in Zen meditation. We need flexibility of mind to approach Zen practice in this non-dual sense, outside of time and space. In the next Unmind segment, we will take up the more abrupt, if no more tangible than aging, mark of sickness, which for some reason is not called out as such in the early translation. Maybe the prevalence of illnesses of all kinds was so much a part of daily life that it did not emerge as a perceivable isolate in the social awareness of the time. Meanwhile, as Buddha himself suggested, don't take my word for any of this. Check it out for yourself, on the cushion and off.
Unmind is a production of the Atlanta Soto Zen Center in Atlanta, Georgia, and the Silent Thunder Order. Find us on the web at aszc.org. You can support these teachings by PayPal to donate at storder.org. Gassho.